Hi, I'm Debbie. I'm an addict. Before I forget, I wanted to thank the committee for asking me. Like a month ago, I got a text from Cammie that says, "Can you talk?" And that's usually code, like something's going on in her life or that we just want to chit-chat. So I called her right back and she goes, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Nothing." And she said, "Did you hear about that women's speaker jam?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds badass. I want to go." And she goes, "Well, will you speak?" And I'm like, "Okay." And she goes, "You're right before the main speaker, so you got to bring it." And I'm like, "No pressure, but all right." So I read this every time I speak. I read this thing, not that I speak a lot, but I read this thing out of Just for Today because it sets my mind into whatever I say I'm meant to say, and it's okay whatever I say. So it's for March 19th. And it's called Something Valuable to Share. A simple, honest message of recovery from addiction rings true. Basic text, page 51. You're in a meeting. The sharing is going on for some time. One or two members have described their spiritual experiences in an especially meaningful way. Another has had us all rolling in the aisles with entertaining stories. And then the leader calls on you. Gulp. You shyly introduce yourself, apologetically stammer out a few lines, thank everyone for listening, and sit out the rest of the meeting in embarrassed silence. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. We've all had times when we felt that we had to share what we had to share wasn't spiritual enough, wasn't entertaining enough, wasn't something enough. But sharing is not a competitive sport. The meat of our meetings is identification and experience, something all of us have in abundance. When we share from our hearts the truth of our experience, other addicts feel they can trust us because they know we're just like them. When we simply share what's been effective in our lives, we can be sure that our message will be helpful to others. Our sharing doesn't have to be either fancy or funny to ring true. Every addict working an honest program that brings meaningful recovery has something of immense value to share, something no one else can give us, his or her own experience. I have something, just for today, I have something valuable to share. I will attend a meeting today and share my experience in recovery from addiction or parenting. It cracks me up that I've been asked twice to share about parenting, because if you would have asked me if I was a good parent even 5 years ago, I'd have said you were high. No offense, but because it's not a secret. I'm really hard on myself, and I just don't feel some days that I'm the best parent I can be. So I'm gonna do what it was like, what it led up to. Coming in the rooms and my parenting, and then, because I parented in an active addiction as well, and then what it's like now. And hopefully that's what we need to hear. And then I have a little bit of literature, because in my home group, OCB, we're from the literature. So let's see. I didn't have good role models as parents. My dad was a quiet drunk. My mom was a raging, abusive, loud drunk. And her favorite thing was to bite me. I can say that without crying now. That's some recovery. But I was probably the only kid, well, probably not, because we're not unique, but I hated weekends. I hated them, because I had to be with them all weekend. And I learned isolation at a very early age, and I learned how to overeat at a very early age to curb my feelings. I feel like addiction is what raised me. My parents weren't what raised me, if that makes any sense. So I went off to college, I went crazy, blah, 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 blah. Fast forward to 16 years ago when I met my husband. Well, he was not my husband, but anyway, I met him and he had two children, ages 4 and 6. And I was 36 years old at this time, and I didn't really want kids because I had the good job, I had, the nice car, I had the good clothes, and kids, they suck it all up, right? And so I was like, okay, because I really liked the guy. We had so much fun, on our first couple dates, but he had kids. And then it was like, okay, we're going to have them every other weekend. Okay. But like the first year of us dating, they weren't allowed to know that we were dating. So I couldn't hold his hand. Whenever the kids were around for the whole weekend, it was like, we're just friends. And which really sucked, but made Sunday nights a lot of fun. But when they went home. Anyways. Oh, God. Okay. So my stepson, he's 18 now, or 19. Oh, my God, he's 19 now, and he's in college. And when I first met him, I knew something was wrong with him because he was 4 years old, and I couldn't understand a word he said, and he was barely toilet trained. And I think I'm on this topic because I talked to an addict about this right before I went on, but he made it even harder for me to try to be a stepmother. You know, it was a very difficult child at the beginning, and he hated me because he thought I broke up his parents. He loathed me. So that was, anyway, I wasn't a good parent to him at all. I screamed at him every day, and yeah, I was not a good parent. Not until the past 2 or 3 years did I learn any tolerance for his condition. And that's one memory is coming to mind that'll show you the kind of parent I was to him. My husband and I were in our bedroom musing, and he was banging on the door because he was hungry. He was 4 years old and he was hungry. And we're like, we'll be out there in a minute. We'll be out there in a minute. Well, a minute in drug time is like 8 hours. And 8 hours later, we find him passed out asleep by the door, and my heart broke. But I didn't stop musing. And so then I have a stepdaughter. She's 21 now, and she's doing great. And I have, like, these two stepchildren that no matter what I did, they turned out phenomenally. And that's God, you know. I read in the parenting section of Living Clean, because that's the only place I could find anything on parenting. And where is it? It talks about, how we have to remember that we're not our higher children's higher power. They have their own. And that's always been very comforting to me because I think that's why my kids are alive today. So now we'll move on to my biological daughter. I need water. I got pregnant with her right after we got married. I was in the depths, and I remember getting so pissed. My husband was out getting more, and I'm like, "Oh, let me pee on this stick. We'll see what's going on," you know. And I was pregnant, and I was mad. You guys, I was mad. Do you know how many women are out there that want children and can't have them? And I was mad that I had this child inside me. I felt like she was trying to ruin my party, and I was pissed because the drugs were the love of my life at that point. And so I didn't stop. I couldn't stop. I wouldn't stop. I just kept going. And it took me a lot. It takes me a lot not to cry when I say that too now, but step work works, guys. And so I go through my pregnancy. Second trimester, we moved to Las Vegas to try to get clean. Not a good idea. But I managed to stay clean for most of my second trimester while my husband used in the next room. That's not bashing on him. I'm just like giving myself some kudos. But I finally got myself a little job at a casino, like doing this stuff. I don't even remember now. And they did hair testing, and I'm like, oh, I've been clean for a couple months. They're not going to find it. And, yeah, I got fired the next day. And I was just like, I was so mad. I'm like, my life sucks. And anyways, I went back to the drugs that day. Needless to say, we ran out of money and ended up back at his mom's house in Southern California because that's where my drug career took place. And I was using like a mofo, for lack of a better word, coming into my brain all through my pregnancy. And then her due date comes, and I'm like, ah, she's not going to come. That doctor was wrong. And literally midnight came, 1 o'clock a.m. came on my due date, 2 o'clock a.m. came, bam, water breaks. And I was high all day, all day. And my first thought was, I'm going to sit here for 3 days while the drugs come out of my system, and then I'll have her. Well, that doesn't really work when your water breaks. So I go to the hospital, and I have, like, a nightmare labor. Apparently, when you use drugs a lot, pain is a lot worse. And then the doctors knew, because I looked like a freaking tweaker, that I had stuff in my system, and they wouldn't give me anything. And this old nurse, I'll never forget her. I still see her face. She's like, "You're having the worst labor I've ever seen." And she was like 80 years old. I'm like, "That's not good." Finally, they decide to give me an epidural, and the pain was gone. And then my little baby had had too much. She went into like heart failure. So it's like an episode of one of those ER shows, and they're throwing me on a gurney and trying to find my husband, and I'm going in for emergency C-section. And you know that moment of clarity they talk about? Well, there it was. He came in, and we looked at each other, and we started crying because I didn't know what was going to come out. It was like right then I was like, what have I done, you know? And I never had a baby. I don't know. I didn't know what happens, you know, when you become like a biological mother. And we're like sitting there like, I don't know what we were doing, but we were freaking out. And then I hear a cry. And I need more step work. Anyways, I hear her cry. And I'm like, okay, she's got lungs. That's good. And they brought around this the most amazing, beautiful, perfect, I tell you, perfect baby. Not a thing wrong with her. She was the right size. She wasn't like premature. I mean, she was perfect. And that, y'all, is if I didn't know I had a higher power, even though I was in active addiction, I knew I had it then. Because I got a perfect child, and to this day, I believe she's meant to do huge things. Because she overcame so much in the womb and in her first nearly 2 years of life. So shortly after she's born, not shortly, but I was able, like when I saw her, I was like, you parents out there know, like the love you feel when you first hold your child, you know. Like it's just, I thought I loved my husband. It's way different. I guess that's a good appropriate thing, but I was like, I wanted to do everything for this little girl. I was never going to use again. I was going to be the perfect mom. Da 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 da. And so I breastfed for 23 days, and like, she was on my boob 8 hours at a time. And yeah, that sucks. Okay. And so we went to the doctor after she was 3 weeks old, and she wasn't gaining weight. And it's because, I don't know, maybe because I used drugs, I wasn't producing milk right. And so they took her off that day and put her on formula, and I was at the drug dealer's house that night. So anyways, this is about parenting, not about my drug-a-log. But so when I finally got clean, I got clean 3 weeks before she turned two, and I had so much guilt. Like anything that child want, I bought. Anything, like I had a good job at the time, like anything she wanted, like it was her. And what did I get? I got a spoiled, raving, lunatic brat. And that's when I learned that there's other people in the fellowship that have done this and can help me. And God, thank you for this fellowship, because the women in this fellowship, you know, I have women in my life today that, yeah, your child gets away with a lot. Let me buy you some popsicle sticks to, like, give her rewards, you know? Or maybe you should cut off her internet or whatever. But anyways, and that means a lot because she's still a little spoiled. But but she's my baby. So got clean, and we moved around a lot, and I was spoiling and spoiling and spoiling her. Like, she ran the relationship. I didn't run the relationship. She was in charge. I was not. And to have a toddler in charge, not a great idea. So let me read a little literature. Let's see. Perhaps nothing changes our perspective on our childhood like having children of our own. We gain a different perspective on our parents' experience, and we see ourselves through the eyes of our children as well. We want so badly to get it right, but we don't quite know what that means. Being a good parent might mean different things to each of us, but whatever we imagine it to be, we want to do it right. We can get so caught up in our theories and expectations of what it means to be a parent that we forget it's a relationship. Sorry, that's a joke. Anyways, all the things we learn about relationships and recovery can help us as parents. We see all the issues we struggle with in our other relationships show up in some form or other in our relationships with our children. Like, that's kind of interesting because, like, when we were using and I had three kids in the house, you know, my husband's and my relationship, not good. You know, like, the kids were visiting us. I was already clean for, like, a month or two, but I didn't go into the rooms because I thought I'd be kicked out for what I did to my child. That's just my disease. We all know that. But my idea of a good relationship was I took my husband's last beer and smashed it on his head because I wanted some attention. And all three of my kids were there, and, like, I threw a lighter, and it cut my daughter's, my oldest daughter's face, and it was just not pretty. And I started all of it, and my husband went to jail. No, I'm just kidding. But, like, that's the kind of crap my kids had to see early on, you know? That's what I'm making, trying to make amends for every day of my life with these kids. And, yeah, I probably give them a little bit too much, but I have the sponsor who's amazing, and she's the perfect person for me. Because she was clean a long time before she became a parent, and she's just a badass parent. And I call her a lot about parenting, and that's one of the reasons I picked her, is because I knew that I needed to become a better parent, because I had spoiled children, I had traumatized children, I had, you know, the whole gamut. Even recently, you know, like, I have 10 years clean, and I still need all the help. Gotcha. That went fast. Cool. I still need all the help I can get. But, like, my daughter that was born out of active addiction is 12 years old now, a couple things that happened that actually made me be able to admit that I was a good parent. It was a couple months ago now, we were eating dinner, and our dinners are crazy. Some of you know my husband, get it, you get it, right? And we're just silly, and my husband and my youngest daughter and I have this great rapport. Like, my husband and my daughter call each other a loser, and it's just cute. It's a really cool dynamic to see them interact. But one day, this particular dinner, we were just laughing, and Katie, her name's Katie, looks at me and says, "Mom," and I knew this was coming, "Mom, did you use with me when you were pregnant?" And I'm like, "Mother." Because, y'all, that was the thing I was scared the most about, was because she's a smart girl. Like, I've been clean for 10 years. She's 12. Like, do the math. And she did the math. And my husband and I talked about this for years, and we were going to be honest. You know, I feel like, and it says something in here, but I'm not going to try to find it, that being honest with the child is probably the best thing you can do. At least that's how I parent. And I said, "Yes, honey, I did, and I'm truly, truly, truly sorry." And she said, "Okay," and she went back to eating, and I'm like, "What? What?" You know, because the things in my head were like, she was going to take out a knife and stab me, she was going to go emancipate herself, like, all this crap, you know, and she was fine with it. She goes, and we talked about it just the other day, because I told her I was going to come speak on parenting, and she's like, "Are you going to tell me you used with me when I was a baby?" And I'm like, "Yeah," and she says, and I said, "You're not mad at that, really? Like, I can't let this go." And she says, "Maybe if I had a deformity or a mental something, I'd be mad, but I'm perfect. I'm like, okay." I might boost her up just a little too much. But so that happened. And then, the best thing I think that's ever happening, not the best, but gosh, a month ago, my daughter comes into my room. It was right before bedtime. She sits on the bed and she goes, "Mommy, I have to talk to you about something personal." I'm like, "Oh, shit." And I'm like, "Okay." And because when she says stuff like that, you never know what's going to come out of her mouth. And she said, "I have a crush." I'm like, "Okay, cool. What's their name?" "Madison." okay, cool. What's she like? And she told me, and it just, you know, like, she's 12 years old. I don't know what her sexuality is going to be. She says she's pan. Like, when I was growing up, I didn't, anyways. But, yeah. So she's a pansexual right now. And because, like, we went to the movies yesterday, and there was a cute guy, you know, and he's like, she's like, he's so cute. So she's confused. But it felt really, really amazing that she felt safe enough to come to me and tell me that. And I was just, and it, I didn't realize that it was so great until my brother, who is gay, didn't come out to me till he was 40 years old. He stayed closeted. And he's like, do you realize how huge that is? And I'm like, no, but yeah. And so, like, you know, all we can do as parents is be our best, you know? The principle of open-mindedness helps us to remain teachable and to look for teachers all around us. Some of us find the support we need by bringing our children to meetings and raising them immersed in the fellowship. Others of us have children who have no idea we are in recovery at all. Whatever choices we make about how our families and fellowship intersect, we know that the skills we learn in recovery make us better parents, partners, and children to our parents at any stage of our lives. And she was immersed in the fellowship when she was young, and I had, people didn't like that, you know, like, especially when I lived in Fort Wayne, like, there were no open meetings, and we got kicked out of meetings for bringing my child. So I'll never live there again, but true story, because I'd have to go up to them like, hey, she was born high, she qualifies, you know, which, you know, you're carrying the toddler around, and that does not look that great, but I did, because, you know what, today, she, and I'm all for raising your children in recovery if that's what you do, because that's what I did, and my daughter has a healthy fear of drugs today. I'm cool with that. She calls beer a drug. Go, girl! Right? And, okay. So, you know, whatever you decide to do, like, there's women, everybody, whether they have kids or dog children, we're all parents, you know, and we all have relationships, and yeah, so that's what I've got to say. Thank you.